You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, we know tax policy can be a very tricky thing to understand. So for this show, we spoke to several experts to get their takes on the major issues politicians are talking about ahead of this election.
Yes, thanks, Katie. So next, I spoke to Terry Boucher, the director of a tax consulting firm and co-author of the book Tax and Fairness. I asked him about what our system gets right, as well as the problems with secondary tax, multinational companies, and which parties he sees as having the strongest tax policies. As it has a bit of a reputation as a dry subject, I began by asking him why we should all care about tax.
Well, everyone pays tax, from the kid spending their first pocket money down at the dairy to a businessman paying provisional tax and GST. We all pay tax at every level. And at an election, every so often, elections come along which become particularly, could turn to be quite a paradigm shift, excuse the cliche, where there could well be one party is offering something that changes the current way we go about it. And at this particular election, Labour is talking about a tax working group. It has already said that it would expand part of the so-called bright line test, which applies to disposals of investment properties within 2 years. They want to change it to 5 years. Its likely partner, the Greens, wants to bring in a comprehensive capital gains tax. And it has been 8-9 years since the last tax review. And in that time, a lot has changed. And one of the things that's become more apparent is the question of how much of a role has tax or lack of tax had to play in the current homelessness and housing price crises.
Because you've written a lot about whether our tax system is fair or not, could you just start by outlining some of the ways that our tax system is fair and some of the things that it does get right?
The driving thrust of the New Zealand tax system over the last 30 years is something called broad-based low rate. And that is that the broader the base of taxation, how many activities we tax, the lower the rate the tax rate will apply. A good example is income tax. Our top income tax rate is currently 33%. Across the ditch in Australia, it's 45%. In Britain, it's 45%. Across a lot of Europe, it's 50% plus. And even in America, it's higher at 39.6%. So that's one example of with the sort of the theory behind it. Our GST system is widely regarded as one of the best in the world because it has no exemption. So one single rate applies to everything. Now, there are people who dispute that, but it raises a lot of revenue. It's very efficient, and that helps keep, because GST contributes quite a lot to the overall tax system. In the 2016 year, it was something like 26% of the total tax take, $18 billion, enables income tax rates to be kept low. So there's two strong parts of the system, that broad-based, the theory, and a GST system.
And what are some of the key aspects that you think to be a lot more unfair?
We don't tax a lot of some key capital transactions. We have a very ad hoc approach to the question of what happens with loosely called capital gains. And we have, as a consequence of that, land and property is undertaxed relative to other countries. And savings are overtaxed. I did a comparison recently, and it looks like KiwiSavers probably pay, relative to the amount of money invested in KiwiSaver, pay some perhaps as much as 9 times as much tax as property investors, residential property investors.
And I've seen that you've written that our capital gains tax system is quite out of line with other OECD countries. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Basically, it's done in an ad hoc basis, and some parts of it are done on a theoretical, what we call accrual basis, that as the income arises, which is not the same as where it is realized. A good example would be that when in other countries they have a realization-based capital gains, that is when you sell the asset or dispose of the asset, there is a calculation that's a trigger point for the tax, and they look back at what is the cost base, what is the gain, and what rates do we apply. We take a very ad hoc approach. We have some parts of our tax system will tax certain transactions that way. other parts of a tax system will say we'll tax you each year on a deemed arising basis, if that makes sense. In other words, this particular year we say that you gained on a particular type of investment 5%, so we're going to tax you on that 5% gain. And then they do a wash-up calculation at the end of the year, and you may have lost money. Another part, a key part for KiwiSaver investors, is what we call the foreign investment fund regime, which applies to investments in overseas companies, such as Apple, for example, in which case you're deemed to be received income equal to 5% of its value. So there's all over the place there. It's not consistent. But one thing that stands out is that property, the home, the residential property, commercial property, large chunks of that, which residential property is worth over $1 trillion, is not taxed. And that's in America, they tax capital gains on the sale of the family home. In the Netherlands, they have something called an imputed rental, complicated, but so basically charges you for renting the place to yourself if you own it. We're a bit out of sync, and people have been saying for some time that our treatment is driving the house prices unrealistically high, has helped to drive house prices unrealistically high and price people out of the market.
Also, I saw that you'd written that both Labour and National are both talking about raising our amount of tax that we raise, but that pales in comparison to how much tax multinational companies don't pay here. What's your thoughts on how to tackle an issue such as multinational tax avoidance?
Multinational tax avoidance is a multilateral approach. It can only be dealt with but through an organization such as the OECD. Everyone has to buy in on this, because otherwise you get a race to the bottom where countries say, well, we're not going to tax these companies because they'll bring more business to us. Ireland has been accused of doing this because the Irish corporate tax rate was set at 12.5% at a time when corporate tax rates in Europe were double that and more. So it really requires a multilateral approach. And it's also, and this is something that my co-author and I, Deborah Russell, discussed in our book, Tax and Fairness, it's a moral issue. Multinationals, in order to provide the service, to sell their services, want protection of their intellectual property. And that's fair enough. The argument we have is they can't have it both ways. They can't demand that we, our court system, protect their intellectual property, but at the same time engineer structures, tax structures, which mean they pay no tax. That simply it's a moral issue, but that, to our view, is something that's just not acceptable.
Coming back to a more sort of everyday level, a lot of people who are taking on more than one job at once are also hit by secondary tax. Can you tell me about how that could potentially work a little bit differently, or whether you think that that's okay as it is at the moment?
There aren't any real easy answers to secondary tax. Our pay-as-you-earn system was devised first by the British during World War II, 1944, and then we introduced it in 1957. Basically, pay-as-you-earn operates brilliantly if everyone has only one job, never changes job, and has regular hours, which is basically what the sort of economy you were describing back in the 40s and the 50s, probably right up until the 80s, in fact. Because people now have fractures, sort of the gig economy, I've heard it referred to, where they have several, many different jobs, that sort of one code, one deduction just doesn't work. Inland Revenue are trying to upgrade the system, but the best solution they've got at the moment is secondary tax, and which means that you decide what is your main job, and the main pay-as-you-earn code is applied to that. But everything else is taxed at what they call a secondary rate, which could well be, when you look at your overall picture, mean that you're paying far too much. In fact, 400,000 people are within secondary tax now, I think, offhand, and this is a regular problem for them. Better computerization might help, but there's no clear answers on that one, very easy answers on that one at this stage.
So in your view, and with the research that you've done, looking towards the election, what policies have you seen that you think are really strong policies and will help to counterbalance the unfairness that you've talked about?
I think the Labour and the Greens, the Greens in looking at saying expanding a capital gains tax, and Labour and expanding the bright line test, are moving in the right direction. Because one of the other things, and just coming back to secondary tax, it's a good example, is that the tax system in New Zealand probably overtaxes income from labour relative to income from capital. So what we should be looking at, I think, and Thomas Piketty has suggested this, is something that looks to tax income from capital more broadly. No one really has come forward on that. It's sort of been kicked down the road a little bit for a tax working group. But that certainly is, to me, is one of the three areas, policy areas, that any review tax policy should be looking at. This question of the taxation of capital. The next thing, and it again is important for people on secondary tax, is the interaction between tax and social assistance. People who are earning low incomes often get top-ups such as accommodation supplement and working for family. The problem is that those above a certain level, they start to claw back. So, for example, if you're earning above $35,000 a year and you get working for family, then every 25% of your working for family is going to get clawed back from next April. So effectively, your tax rate goes up by 25 percentage points. And that could also apply to accommodation supplement. If you've got a student loan as well, that's another 12%. So it's not uncommon for someone earning modest income, say $50,000, to have what we call an effective marginal tax rate in excess of 50, 60%. And that's something that really needs to be looked at very carefully. And the final thing I think is important, the Greens, and I have to say I haven't looked carefully at the Greens' policy on this, but they've talked about this, is the idea of perhaps looking at carbon taxation and environmental taxation, such as either a carbon tax, which is what the Greens are proposing, or an improved emissions trading scheme. And the water tax from proposal from the Labour Party goes in those directions because it's a classic users pay. So those tax affect behaviours. And if you're wanting to promote good behaviour, good example would be cigarette tax. Raising taxes has helped reduce smoking. And then taxes targeted at certain activities you don't want or want to encourage less of will achieve that.
Do you think that voters who might be sort of looking at Labour's vision for changing the tax system might be sort of put off by the lack of detail around their policy? Do you think that's it's okay for politicians to come out and say we have this idea but there needs to be a lot more work on it, or do you think that it's better to have something set in stone?
Politicians will always reserve themselves the right to be flexible about what they promise and what they deliver. When you're talking about tax, broad range of it, just those three things I'm talking about, it's very difficult to be very precise in advance on all those topics. Because a comprehensive review of the tax system is very different from saying that we're going to charge a water tax. You can be more specific. You're going to say we're going to impose a water tax, and I think Labour needs to be a difference, one or two cents doesn't sound like a lot, but basically 2 cents is double 1 cent, so they should have been clearer about that. I know what's involved in the tax review. I've looked at papers in the past, and they're comprehensive stuff. It's a work that really only the government has the resources to carry out. And I would think, though, that a better approach would have been to say, this is complicated. We don't know exactly how a tax review might turn out. It may say a capital gains tax, or it may go a completely different way. For example, the last tax working group in 2000, which reported in early 2010, said no to a capital gains tax, but was very keen on a land tax. Neither of those were obviously passed in. And so that's how these things develop. If you go down the route of a review, it is going to be necessarily vague.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was Terry Boucher discussing the highs and lows of New Zealand's tax system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.